For Aris, for your benefit, tonight we're going to talk about digital sources. Can you please keep to the theme tonight? And introduce the show at some point.
I thought you just did.
Today we are talking about binary choices. We're going to discuss, why is digital so confusing? There are many, many options. Some of them are software, some of them are hardware. Why are they confusing? And we will attempt very badly to demystify it.
Seriously, Trevor, you are so much better than Aris at doing this. Can we get into the show now?
Welcome to the show again. Before we get started, what music are we listening to? SB2, why don't you start us off this time?
Okay, so I've had a bit of an interesting week this week. I haven't been listening to anything in particular. I was asked to put together a show for a local radio station, 3PBS, a public radio station, and I did a trip around the world of alternative music, starting from Afghanistan, Mongolia, going through Afghanistan, into Israel, around to South America, up to Canada, around Europe. It was fantastic. I relived the last 20 years of my musical journey. So I'm not going to bring out names, but it was just fantastic.
Sounds fantastic. So you got to travel virtually because we're stuck at home, bearing with COVID-19.
Yep, and I got to do what I wanted to do for ages, is put together a show for 3PBS. So if any listener out there would like to listen to 3PBS, I suggest you do so. It's a great local radio station.
Is SB3, what have you been listening to?
So I think I've been more on I suppose on a bit of a memory lane thing. My motivation the last couple of days for listening to music has been motivational for exercising. So I've decided I need to get fit in this environment, and I've decided to start running and running again. And I was doing sprints, and I thought I need some kind of really pumped up music to listen to while sprinting. And naturally, my choice goes back to my headbanging youth. So I've been listening to bands like Judas Priest, The Angels, right. Dead Kennedys, you know, very right. Fast up-tempo stuff that distracts you from the pain of sprinting up hills. That's what I've been doing. And because I normally run with a running group, because I can't run with them because we're all isolating, but because I'm not running with a group and it's really, really hard to get motivated when you're not running with other people, I thought I would put on some pumping metal and punk music. We all should get fit for when the zombies start chasing us. Hence the sprinting.
The zombie apocalypse is coming.
I like it.
Sorry, I interrupted you. What have you been listening to?
No, it's all right. I've been listening to music from America because I figure they're all going to go to hell and die very quickly. So I might as well get to enjoy their music before they become extinct.
Trump's got it under control. Apparently, they've leaked it now.
Oh, they've won. They've won. I've been listening to an artist, Sarah Bareilles, out of LA, I think. Sort of just really pleasant. Bit of country, bit of folk, bit of soul. Just really heartfelt, beautiful voice. So I've only been listening to one album of hers called Amidst the Chaos, which I thought was very apt. It's just one of those albums I just, you know, discovered through Rune, played the first track or two, and then I've been playing it for a couple of times a day now, so really enjoying it. Right, okay. We're not even going to talk about why go digital, because realistically, everybody does it. Nobody wants to talk about it. As in why digital. It's there, it's everywhere, it's one. It's the Donald Trump of music sources.
Jeez, that's disturbing.
Well, yeah, I think it's confusing, just like Trump. It's totally confusing if you don't get him. If you get him, you're fine. So if you get digital, you're fine. But there's a lot of ways of listening to digital. Why do you think that's so confusing for so many people?
The confusing bit about digital is only really confusing if you live in the rarefied echelons of audiophilia, I think, for most people who listen on Spotify, to be honest. Maybe Apple Music, maybe Amazon, maybe Google. Listen on their Sonos or their whatever the Apple device is or that sort of thing. It's pretty simple. You just select the music and you play. For audiophiles who are audio snobs sometimes, something like Spotify doesn't cut it because it's not even CD quality. It's compressed. We think we can hear a difference, and on good enough systems we probably can. So then we are forced to go to other sources like Tidal or Cubase, which are CD quality or higher, and that's when the problem starts because those systems don't play nicely together. It's very hard to stream Tidal and Cubase through the one system.
Yeah, so let me just summarise why I find digital confusing. When I think of the term digital, I just think of things just work. Like, yeah, I've got a Mac system. Things just work on it, as long as they don't try to do something stupid. With digital audio file stuff, there's always a problem, whether it's trying to get hardware which talks to all the sources or the right sources to talk to the hardware, and then, you know, all the conversions of rates, etc. To me, it took me years to get my head around it, and I find it still very frustrating. It just should work, but it doesn't. Mm. That's what I think.
I think it doesn't get easier when most manufacturers or vendors want you to stay within their ecosystem as well. It's very difficult to natively play Tidal, Spotify, etc., CDs, you know, from other sources and aggregate them.
Aris, another reason I find it's confusing, it's not only that just the sources are confusing in my behalf, is the hardware options are confusing. Mm-hmm. Because there's a whole lot of good consumer stuff out there from people like Name or Denon who provide streaming systems, which will stream all kinds of stuff and put it into your hi-fi. Fantastic. But there's also DIY software and doing the same thing at next to zero cost. So when I put it all together, I usually go, the commercial stuff gives me a great turnkey solution, but it doesn't give me the answers I want or the thing I want. The DIY stuff kind of gives me the flexibility I want, but I'm not technical enough to actually do the DIY stuff. So I'm left, you know, in between a rock and a hard place and knowing where to go.
I think spend the money. If you don't know how to do it, spend the money.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there are two sort of streams in the audiophile world. There are people who just want to plug something in and it works. And then there's a subset of, you know, people used to tweak and still do, used to tweak their turntables and really enjoy setting them up and all of that sort of stuff. And now, to some extent, they do that in digital when they fiddle around with Raspberry Pis and Ethernet cables and all of that sort of stuff. So, you know, sort of horses for courses, I guess. For me, I just want something I can plug in and it works. And even then, it doesn't always work.
I think there's only one vendor that's actually high-end vendor that's done a good job, and that's Lin, I think. They've opened up their ecosystem. They've open-sourced it. And the interface is actually not dissimilar to Rune. Not as good probably now, but certainly very good. So there are exceptions to that as well.
When you guys were looking at introducing digital, and we all went through the same path, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. Did you think about the challenges between buying a just commercial streamer endpoint or going to buy something like a Pi?
Well, I think 4 or 5 years ago, the world was different and streaming was a little bit limited, don't you think?
No, look, it is, but I still find, not that I look at it as much now as I used to do, but I still find that there's stuff offered in the commercial space, which is great, but it doesn't offer me all the things I want in the DIY space. And there's still that challenge here, one about flexibility, the other one about a turnkey solution. And there's a vast amount of dollars difference in general between the two.
What are you lacking now, John, that you think you can get in DIY that you can't get in the commercial offerings?
Well, look, the first thing which drove me into DIY, and we'll come back to where we ended up, what we ended up getting, was the implementation of convolution into the digital stream. So digital room correction, essentially. Right. When you buy a streaming endpoint, something like a name, if you want to do a digital correction for your room, it's very hard to actually do that. And when I was looking about 3 years ago, there was no way of doing that.
Right, right.
And that's where things like building your own servers, building your own endpoints, and having software like Rune Audio, as in R-U-N-E, as opposed to R-O-O-N, offered you a possibility of introducing convolution.
So for me, the choice was much less complicated, I think, because I was already running music from a Mac Mini, which was sitting right next to my system and plugging straight into my DAC. So I had all of my locally stored digital music on that, and I just needed a way of combining streaming music with it. So for me, it wasn't a choice of actually buying a streamer. I already had a way of getting the music from a server or from a hard drive, if you like, onto my DAC. So it was really a software solution that I needed, and that's, for me, then going down the path of Rune was pretty simple. And also it meant that I could have another box sitting next to my stereo. And the more boxes you have next to your stereo, the better.
For me, the challenge, I think, was always I had a large media library. Fixing that was important because iTunes just wasn't really a good sort of process. Or experience. And then I tried all the open source do-it-yourself options and even some of the freeware ones. And eventually I think Rune for me won, not because they had streaming, because I think initially they didn't support it. They just had the ability to play your library. Was just the experience of it kind of just worked. And I think generally it does. So simplifying the technology and focusing on the user experience was what was important to me at that time.
Question for all of us, given that we've all ended up with Rune, and just reiterating SB1's point about the user interface on Rune, I struggled with iTunes for years. I really did not like it. But I guess the question is, for people who've gone down the streamer path, why do people choose that? Why do people buy a streamer?
I can answer on behalf of one of my friends who's not here. He hadn't explored the whole digital streaming space very much and decided he wanted a streamer, and he loved Name Gear. I mentioned it earlier, but not for this reason. He mentioned he bought a Name streamer because it seemed to give him everything he wanted. And now he's been caught where he realizes the software development of a hardware provider isn't good enough. He feels frustrated by it. Although the sound quality is really good. But he did it as a sort of easy solution, which fits in the paradigm of the old sort of you get a CD player sort of thing and there's your solution for you. And it doesn't really hold. What about you, B1?
B1?
Oh, SB1, sorry.
What was the question?
So where did you end up and why did you end up there?
I think just like, I guess you, SB2, I tried a lot of different options. I resisted the all-in-one solutions because for the same reasons you did, which is the coupling of hardware and software didn't make sense. And also hardware is cheap and you can tweak it. Look, I ended up with a server on a NUC, an Intel NUC. I control my phone or any device, really, computer sometimes my iPad, sometimes my tablet, if you will. And then the endpoint is, at the moment, it's not a Pi, although it is based on the sort of Pi platform. It's a dedicated, rather expensive device from Project that has a CMA compute Pi with a lot of improvements in the power supply regulation, etc. I hope that makes a difference, but basically it's a Pi endpoint, yeah. And that goes straight into my preamp, which has got a built-in DAC, and then everything from that point onwards. So on my preamp, I only use one input. Actually, no, I tell a lie. I use three inputs. one for the CD player. So I get CD as a, I'm using a transport only CD player. I have a Rune endpoint USB in, again digital. And I have to admit I've got a turntable hooked into my preamp, but that's obviously not not digital.
There's no shame in that. I think we've all, well, SB1, SB2, we've ended up in the same sort of spot. And one thing I will mention about the use of Rune, which not unique, but uniquely easy, is to allow for things like all those kind of digital corrections. So digital room correction, which is has been very important to me because I have a cubic room. But things like allowing time alignment for speaker positions, etc., that's really easy within a software environment like Rune, where it's almost impossible in a hardware environment where you're left with a hardware provider trying to give you software that can do that for you.
I want to kind of mention, I have to, a movement I've seen in open platforms where hardware providers are creating very high quality digital devices, if you will, DACs, hybrid DACs, streaming DACs. They create it in such a way that supports Rune as an endpoint and various other elements as endpoints, Spotify endpoints, etc. But it's an open hardware platform, if you will. I think, is it Okta or Okta from in Germany, I think, have done that. I think many DSP do that. So you get some really high quality open hardware that has the support for Rune and other software components to be pre-configured or established. So these are people who've put together an open source software package that can be installed on their hardware. What they've done is broken the pattern of proprietary hardware with legacy software. So you've got an emerging sort of choice there of really good quality devices that you can effectively choose some of the software that goes on it. So if I was giving advice around digital to somebody coming into digital from analog, or they used to play in their CD player, I would absolutely say to them to adopt an ecosystem that's open, that can use different sources and be scalable. In other words, don't get locked into a proprietary vendor.
Would we say Rune is something you should consider as a controller source software? And then just look at your hardware to make sure it supports Rune.
Yes, but or just go and buy one of the approved NUCs or buy the hardware from Rune if you want to. Connect that to your DAC and off you go.
There isn't a single device that streams everything and includes your locally stored digital and does it seamlessly and well. So the choice that we seem to have come down on is choosing one streaming service, and we've all chosen Tidal, and living with the fact that some of our family members are not happy with that. For that, we get a software solution, really, that is very stable and is a great interface and continues to develop.
So could I, just for our sake of our listener, what would be the recommendation for, and I say him because only sad bastards who are me would listen to this show.
I'll go first. I would say subscribe to Rune. Attach your install Rune on a Mac. It's just an application, the server. Point it to your music and then get a Pi and install some endpoint software connected to your DAC. And you know, if you don't have a DAC, buy a DAC. The only thing they have to buy there, new in terms of hardware, is the endpoint. So for Rune to connect to the DAC. And that's like a $50 device plus the subscription to Rune. Well, I think that wraps up our episode of digital quandaries, confusion. Hope it made you more confused. I know I'm more confused now. I think three sad bastards, two of them were sober. Only one of them was mildly drunk. So apologies to our dear listener for basically letting you down. But next week we're going to be talking about digital room correction. And please, if you have feedback for SB2, SB3, go to www.3sadbastards.com. And if you want to send me money, just fill out the form on our website. you would have noticed.
What the fuck?
What the WTH? H?
F.
F-I-T-H? F-I-T-H?
Seriously, how much did you have to drink before you started?
D-N-R? D-N-R.